listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Welcome to Fright Night. Not really. No, it's not really frightening. It's not really, it's not even really night that much. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a sucker, no pun intended, for a good vampire film. I'm also a sucker for kids versus monsters films. Vampires versus the Bronx looks like it's going to hit, bing, 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 it's going to hit all those things. And there's no question that the directors and writers of this film, Osmani Rodriguez, who story by and who directed it, and Blaise Hemingway, who wrote the screenplay, there's no question they saw all the same movies that we all did, right? I mean, they saw the Monster Squad, and they saw Fright Night.
They saw Attack the Block.
Attack the Block. Yeah. They saw all these movies, and they decided, what if we combine all these things together, only made it not good?
You know, I'm just mostly disappointed because I signed up for this hoping for a spinoff to Vampire in Brooklyn and got really let down.
I barely remember Vampire in Brooklyn, but that was the Eddie Murphy film. That was well past the beginning of the Eddie Murphy decline. But Vampires versus the Bronx is a new Netflix film. It follows a group of teenagers who discover, and the Bronx, so it's a very mixed racially group of teenagers, they discover that there are vampires who are coming in and gentrifying their whole neighborhood. I mean, it's not too subtle about the metaphor here, sucking the life out of the Bronx, if you will. But before we go any further with that, let me introduce my co-reviewers. First off, I have Ben.
How's it going, everyone?
Adrian.
Hey, y'all. It's Adrian El Critical, resident Mexican. I'll be here to battle these angry white people who seem to hate diverse casting and kids of color. At least I think that's where their criticism mainly comes from.
No, you're probably right. And anything we do at this point to attack this movie is automatically white fragility. So.
Look, I'm just saying, if you don't like this movie, you're kind of racist, low-key.
And Alexander.
Hey, I guess I'm kind of racist, low-key.
Because Vampires versus the Bronx, as much as it's a cool idea, and it is a cool idea, like I said, largely cobbed from other ideas, made me super excited when it started. And the whole concept right there, so cool. You've got this kid who's like the smart kid in the neighborhood. He's so smart, he's called Lil Mayor, because everyone's like, man, that kid, he just organizes shit. He puts stuff together. He's already putting together this big block party to defend the neighborhood bodega, which is run by a really cool guy everybody likes. And the kids all hang out there. This guy's sort of been like almost a foster dad to them in a weird sort of way, you know, helping them, giving them a safe place to hang out so they're not out in the streets.
Showing them Blade.
Showing them Blade. Yeah. I saw a review for this on RogerEbert.com that started with, some horror movies are always trying to ice skate uphill. It's like, damn it, I wanted to say that first. He's, you know, trying to save the neighborhood from this new corporation that's moving in that literally uses Vlad Tepes, Vlad the Impaler, as their logo.
Yeah.
In case you didn't get already what
it's
was
so
happening.
It's so subtle.
Here.
It's really helpful, you know.
It's not that hard to figure out what exactly is happening here. And they all look like the most traditional. I mean, they got long hair and they wear super gothic outfits. I mean, they all look like they came right out of the cast of Interview with a Vampire.
Definitely. Yeah.
he has got several friends here that hang out with him that have slightly, you know, very, very different personalities. One of them is been targeted by a local gang leader, Henny, to join his crew. He's like, hey, you're the age, we bring you in. And he's not really sure what he wants to do. And another one of his friends is like, knows all about vampires. He's like, when he's first introduced, he's reading Salem's Lot, and they call him, a kid calls him the Puerto Rican Harry Potter. So he's the nerd in the crew. He starts to see little things that seem suspicious, and before you know it, he actually sees one of these guys, these vampires that we know are vampires, but they don't yet, killing a dude and flying in the air while doing it. And he's like, okay, decidedly vampires, right? So then it turns into, well, how are we going to stop the vampires? This is when the movie goes very Fright Night, where it's like, what are the list of things we know about vampires? And then there's a neighborhood older girl who, of course, the hero has kind of a little crush on, that gets involved, who knows a lot about them because she says, I'm from Haiti. It's how are we going to put a plan together to stop these vampires, who, as near as I can tell, are some of the most incompetent vampires who have ever lived.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem to know that it's not a children's movie. It's like, this is a PG-13 movie trying to be a horror movie, but it feels like the bumbling bad guys from a kid's movie. And I will say also, you mentioned, like, one of them knows all about vampires. That still felt like it was so out of left field for that character. It's like, the scary, nerdy kid at most was reading Salem's Lot, and then, like, you didn't believe him about the vampire even when he saw the mirror. Then the next day, he's like, you know all about vampires. Like, all right, you're right. I do know all about vampires. Let me school you on. It's like, if this kid knew mirrors and vampires not showing up in mirrors means vampire, how the fuck does he not know about vampires? But he didn't even know stakes work.
Kind of, not really on a curve with this movie, but I'm kind of like reviewing it with this other mindset, because I thought this was very obviously a kid's film. Like, this is just a Netflix version of a Goosebumps episode is essentially what this is, for 90 minutes instead of 30.
I thought you were trying to defend it.
What I'm saying
it's
is like
PG-13 right there on Netflix.
I got what it was trying to do. And I think if you're that audience, it might work. I didn't find this offensive at all. And I wasn't even going into it thinking like, oh, I want like a really good vampire film. It's called Vampires versus the Bronx. They don't even do the vampires right. We'll give some of them fangs. We might make them a little more bat looking. And then for the female vampire, we're literally just going to give her some teeth.
We should mention that this film also features Method Man as a local preacher, Sarah Gadon or Gadon. I'm not sure I pronounce her name, but she's great. Who plays a local white lady who's come in the neighborhood, who is very excited to be immersed in the local culture, if you will. I didn't find it offensive. I think there's only one even mildly original thing about this film that hasn't been done 100 times already, and that's the fact that it's metaphorical for gentrification. And we've seen that used in other metaphors before as well. I found every opportunity to be original or funny was wasted. There's plenty of points where I'm like, okay, now here comes the joke, and then there's not even an attempt at a joke. It's everybody's super cliched, even to the point where this really felt like it came out in 1990 to me, you know, and even then it would have been just okay. All the ways that everyone is, you know, oh, these people, that they're Hispanics, and these people are Blacks, and these people are white. It feels borderline racist to me. The way it is, everything is so cliched and overwrought with the cultural stereotypes that I'm like, is this okay? I'm not sure this is okay. It's hard to tell anymore when it's so light like this, and it is indeed borderline, but it certainly didn't find any way to make it interesting for me. And most ridiculous was Shea Whigham, who plays Frank Polidori. Yeah. If you know your vampire lore, you'll
the most wasted good character actor.
This movie has an Italian gangster for no reason.
he doesn't even have a great conclusion. Like, he's literally X'd out of the movie with, hey, these characters that you've been against this whole movie say, hey, man, what you doing? He's like, you're right. What am I doing? It's like, no, that doesn't make any fucking sense for your character. And also, the bad guy's plot in general doesn't even make sense. Like, there's a point where the main bad guy just goes like, yeah, I don't want the Bronx to change. I want it to be a place where I can just disappear. It's like, you're gentrifying it. It's going to bring in a bunch of more new people who pay attention because they have money. You do want it to change. Your plan doesn't make sense. Like, everything falls apart in this movie if you look at it for more than 30 seconds.
Can I say that that character in particular reminded me of when Annie in the Community episode is trying to play the Karate Kid?
You know, it's like this ridiculously over-exaggerated caricature that you can tell that he's not really putting a lot of effort into either. He's just kind of going with, I mean, it felt like a bit from a Saturday Night Live episode. And sure enough, the director has a big history in Saturday Night Live. Sorry, Adrian, I know how much you hate Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan. I can see the similarities.
That's what baffles me, because this guy's got this huge history, who has worked as a director on AP Bio. 47 episodes he's directed of Saturday Night Live. Why is nothing here funny?
It was also two-dimensional that most of the jokes just fell flat.
When they did even attempt to tell a joke.
Yeah.
I said that I wanted to be more on the positive side of this movie. And the thing is, I do remember laughing at points. But thinking of it now, I can't even really remember what those jokes were. I don't think it's unfunny. I'm really on the stance that I think this has its audience. And I think it works for the audience. And I feel like if it doesn't work for us, it's not supposed to. That makes total sense, that this doesn't work as a horror comedy that we're used to.
But I present to you all the horror comedies out there that were pointed at kids, or action comedies or whatever they are, that worked for everyone.
Yeah. Look at People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, I always say People Under the Stairs.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's
Texas
a good
Chainsaw
one.
Massacre 2, A New Beginning. Yeah, okay. That's the wrong Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I felt like this really especially cribbed from Attack the Block, where you see the kids like trying to befriend the new white lady in the neighborhood and kind of trusting her. And she's like, oh no, I love the neighborhood. And then the one kid that's the tougher one is the one trying to be recruited by the crime lord.
Right.
It's just like, cool, this is so trying to be Attack the Block without any of the heart or any of the actual clear and functional racial commentary, because the cop show up, they're just like, no, we're not racist, we're other black people, trust us. It's like, yep, that's pretty much what this movie's trying to say. White people are bad, that's the most moral it gets. And that just still doesn't even work, because it's just like, you don't flesh out any character where you actually care about them, really.
I just thought it was bad writing.
I saw a movie with the title Vampire versus the Bronx, and I was like, all right, this movie knows how stupid and lame it is. It's going to be funny. It didn't seem to be aware of the fact that it wasn't supposed to be something grand.
There are a few moments where some of the characters feel like they have like a really genuine reaction to something, whether it's a punchline or just an action another character does. And for those moments, I thought it was pretty funny, but they are kind of few and far between. But I still don't think it's enough for it to be like, I don't know, I can't think of another movie right now that's just unfunny but is a comedy.
That's because you forget about those movies.
Exactly.
We'll probably forget about this one.
I wouldn't say it's on that level, but I think that's just me.
It's not hatefully unfunny. It's not like it's trying to tell jokes and they're like, what the fuck? The way you are with a lot of, like, say, Adam Sandler comedies, where you're like, right, dude, no, stop. That's so, like, where they almost look like they're looking at the screen waiting for you to laugh. It's not that kind of not funny. It's like bad dad joke unfunny. And I don't mean just dad joke. I mean bad dad joke, where you just, like, no one acknowledges that it even happened.
Yeah, like the hypochondriac kid. They just mention his blood sugar all the time, and it wasn't even funny the first time.
Honestly, I can't remember a point that I actually really laughed in this movie. Like, I sat there for 30 minutes and I messaged a friend. I was like, I'm trying to get through this movie. After 30 minutes to a horror comedy, there's been very light horror, if anything, and I haven't laughed once. And it just progresses that way. There's some likable characters. The actor who's playing the bodega owner is great. Whereas then Method Man comes in, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be playing, you know, the equivalent of me being like an angry captain on a police force. Like, that doesn't fit for being the priest, you know? Your character's like, I don't trust any of you kids. You're all bad kids, even if I have no reason for it. It's like, even like the stereotypical, you know, black creature stereotypes don't even fit that. Like, it just feels like it's trying to reach for conflict to give these characters that isn't the vampires, because they don't have a budget or energy for it.
And it's going through a playbook of just cliche after cliche after cliche of the films that it's borrowing from. Yeah. And it doesn't try to do anything new or original, really, at any point. I kind of like the way they killed the main vampire at the end. I thought that was mildly amusing. But, you know, I think we can just go to final thoughts on this one, frankly. And we'll let Adrian go first, and then slowly we'll pick apart his arguments.
I think this has a clear audience. I mean, yeah, there are better films. There are films like Attack the Block that are kind of cool, entry-level, funny horror comedies that are maybe geared towards a younger audience. The thing is, they're not really geared towards a younger audience. They're still rated R films. And I like that this is giving an opportunity for kids who maybe can't see rated R movies, or their parents just don't trust it. They get something that's a horror comedy that can kind of gear them towards the right direction of watching better films. But this kind of felt like something like Goosebumps. Like, it felt harmless. I thought it was kind of charming at points, but it's not scary at all. It's a bad vampire film, but while being a cute kid comedy. I like that it's also giving perspective to demographics that aren't usually seen on screen. I know that may make Ben angry because of how much it's like just kind of like a we hate white people type movie.
Look, just because I glow does not mean I defend all white.
I just feel like if I was a little Dominican kid in the Bronx, I'd think like, yeah, you know what? I hate white people too. And this movie's kind of cool for calling it out. I think it's fine. I think it's totally something to put on if you want to get into the Halloween mood with just something spooky and Halloween themed and horror themed while not being really a horror movie. So you don't have to worry about jump scares or nothing like that. It's just something harmless, but it's definitely good for a younger audience, like 10 to 12. And I think they might dig it. So I'm going to give it 3 just racist film critics that I'm looking at right Jesus here out of 5.
You can tell how not seriously we take all that by the fact that we're white people being called racist and we don't go, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah.
I know some brown people, kind of.
I didn't know this was the do the right thing of Kids versus Monsters films, Adrian. Okay.
I mean, let's just say it. I'm the second Mexican that joins the site, and I'm white, so.
Yeah, but for some reason, they just keep coming. We let in one Mexican critic, and suddenly we've got 13 of them. What the hell?
Surprisingly, they're sending us their best critics, at least.
They are. That is true. Alexander, what about you, sir?
This movie has a really great premise and it has a lot of great ideas as far as making gentrification out as a monster and having kids fight it, but its execution is really lacking. Like, this movie recruited Method Man to play a priest in a vampire movie, and he's not a blade, and that's really disappointing. Like, not once does he tell those kids to protect your neck. I was thoroughly disappointed. I will give this 1.5 out of 5 2-liter bottles of Sprite that are actually holy water.
Ben.
I get where Adrian's trying to come from with saying this is a kids movie, but again, it's rated PG-13. If this was in a theater, kids wouldn't get to see it. You referenced Goosebumps, but I know, Chris, me and you saw The House with the Clock in its Walls. That, we compared to Goosebumps, like, no, this is what kids should be given if they want a horror movie. That was kind of spooky, it was mystical, it had some good laughs to it. Definitely some more kids elements, but that's kind of what it is. We actually laughed at that. We actually had some scares in that. This doesn't have it. You know, we can compare it to Attack the Block. That definitely gets the gentrification message to an extent and also just the general, you know, oppression of minorities message so much better. But, you know, you can't hold every movie to that gold standard. That's fair. But I would compare it to even, say, Monster Squad as far as entertainment for kids and scares. That's another PG-13 movie that has heart, that has laughs to it, and it has a few real scares. And you know what? It doesn't try to overextend itself. It actually focuses on a narrative that works and, yes, is 80s camp, but it works. I just didn't feel any heart in this. I don't think any of the kids are necessarily bad, but there's just nothing to latch on to. Maybe some other kids would watch it now because they can on Netflix. There's no PG-13 blocking them at the door at a theater right now, but I don't think we should credit a movie because kids will get a chance to see it now and might enjoy it. I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 10 coffins that really, really, really should be visible on camera.
You know, Adrian, I used to work with this guy named Corey Coleman on another site. And there was this thing he would do I would call him out for all the time that I literally took to calling privately the Corey Confabulation, which I know sounds like the title of a Robert Ludlum novel. What that is trying to gauge a movie when it has nothing to offer but is okay for kids to say, well, it's fine because it's okay for kids. They make great movies for kids all the time. I've seen many of them and given them great reviews. I can't give something a pass just because, okay, at least it's not offensive and it's got monsters in it. This has been done so much better and in an okay for kids way. I mean, like, if you're thinking about showing your kids this, show them the Monster Squad. Now that's a good time. Wolfman's Got Nards, yes. Baby. Which, by the way, there's a documentary coming out very shortly about Monster Squad called Wolfman's Got Nards. this is just boring. I wanted it to be good. There's more than enough material here to make this good. No movie has ever needed a punch-up writer more than this movie. Oh boy, did it ever. Because every opportunity to be genuinely funny. I mean, there are points where I'm watching it as a viewer going, and this is where you would put this line in or something like this to happen because it'd be really funny and it'd fit into the story in a way that would work in the bigger metaphor. And nope, nothing. There'd be points where you're like, wait, seriously, you're going to end the scene that way? Okay. Y'all just want to get this over with is what it felt like the whole time watching it. It was also very poorly edited, in my opinion. It was just clippy and I don't know. I did not care for this movie at all. Part of that, I fully admit, is my disappointment in wanting it to be a really good for kids monsters versus kids movie. You know, I wasn't expecting it to be anything like Attack the Blocks where you're like, whoa, this is actually pretty damn violent. But I mean, we can always hope, right? Right. But no. By the way, Boyega's done with Star Wars. Time for Attack the Block 2. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
This is just meh for me. I was surprised to see some other critics like this. I just expected so much, so, at least a little bit better than what I got. I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 blahs.
Well, all I heard is that I did something like Corey Coleman, and I think that's pretty cool.
You just stopped listening after that point. I have some stories to tell you, sir, but not on mic.